There you go, technology is brilliant. Very warm welcome. I wanted to take an opportunity to just speak for a few moments on a certain subject that has always been there with me ever since I've been a Christian, and I'm sure it's been with you, and it's the subject of healing. And when we look at healing, we can see it in a multitude of different ways, I suggest. I want to suggest to us that sometimes when we look at the subject of healing, we could think, well, it's okay for the others, but it's, you know, I don't need that. But God wants to heal all of us, doesn't he? God wants to bless all of us. He wants to encourage all of us. And as we look through Scripture, we will see one or two things as we look through it together. And I just want to read this portion of Scripture out of Matthew, and there'll be a few Scriptures from Matthew, because that's the book that I've chosen to read from. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And that's the first thing I want us to see, is that whenever we speak about healing, it's good news. You know, have you ever heard of it? Well, have you ever heard of anyone who's been miraculously healed from God and they're complaining? No, it's good news, isn't it? It's good news. And that's one of the first things that I want us to think about as we just ponder on this thought about healing and healing every disease and sickness among the people. There was a ministry that Jesus had, and I'm not Jesus, are you? We're not Jesus. But we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we've already heard that message, that he hung on the cross, that his body was broken and his blood was shed, that we may be set free. Yes? And there are times in our lives that we will pray and we will receive not our healing. And there'll be times in our lives where we will pray and we'll know God's done a work within us. There'll be times in our lives where we won't understand what God has done, what he is doing and what he wants to do. But one of the things that I wanted to say to us as a church is how thankful we can be one for another. How thankful we can be for what God has done in our lives. And so often when we are being told that someone else is grateful for what we've done, we feel awkward. It's difficult to accept praise, I suggest. Oh yeah, that's okay. I had a conversation with a lady last week, and I said something quite positive to her, and she went, well, you know, that's all God. And I said, no, it's not all God, because you have a choice. God speaks to you and through you. You have a choice to be his instrument. So it's the grace of God that's working through you. It's not just God. He uses us, doesn't he? And I want to say a big thank you to all those that are in this room today for your care and consideration, your prayers, and your generosity of heart, your generosity in your financial giving, the generosity that you show Susan and I as a couple, and that you've been faithful to this church over the years. I want to say to those that are listening and those that are in the room listening today that if you was there at the conception of this church, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. There's a plan and a purpose. And as I said a few weeks ago, that the devil comes to sift, but God prunes. And there are times in our lives where he cuts things off and it's painful and it's not so encouraging. But it is so that we can be more fruitful. There are those that have joined us as a church over the years. And we are thankful and we are grateful for such a time as this. And God has healed me of something. He has healed me of many things over the years, but he has healed me of something that I suffered with for many years. I suffered with the loneliness of not having a natural father. I suffered with that. I would look around at Father's Day when everyone else was doing this and high fives and the rest, and I never had a dad. I do have a dad, and anyone here who hasn't got a father present with them, we were all born of a woman, but our fathers were involved. But God healed me of that because he showed me that he was my father. He's my spiritual father. That takes nothing away from you men in the room. But we have a spiritual father, and he healed me of that. There's other things in my life that the Lord has healed me with, but I've had to walk through a journey, and I'm bringing it in this way because it's the only way I can express what's inside by allowing it to come out, by allowing God to speak to me and to you through his word. And there are times where, when we think about healing, I was born again in my 30s, when I was 30 year old, and I'm now 33. So I've been a Christian for 3 years. Was it 30? I'm also losing my memory. I've been a Christian for over 30 years. And I've been in meetings where there's been an evident manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I've been in meetings where people have shaken, shuddered, rattled and rolled, and I've gone, that's not God. That's just us. But I've also been in meetings where people are desperate for God to touch them. And it appears that he hasn't. I don't know if you've experienced that. And what I suggest through my observation in church life, that in the years that I was learning and understanding and being discipled and disciplined of the Lord, I saw the good, the bad and the ugly in people. I saw good ministers and bad ministers. I saw good pastors and bad pastors. I saw God's word being manipulated and torn apart at times. But I've also seen God work in the miraculous. So I want to say right at the beginning of this message that I believe that God can supernaturally heal his people. I believe that he can supernaturally give you and I what he wants to give us. But I want to say it in this way. There are times where we pray and we see nothing. And the enemy comes along and he steals that which God has given us, which is that measure of faith. And he says, that's because he doesn't love you enough. Well, that's a lie of the enemy, isn't it? That's because you're not worthy. That's because of your sin. Now, let me just say this. Sin does separate us from God. There's no doubt about that. But we belong to him, don't we? We've already been told today that by his blood, by the brokenness of his body, we've been set free. Those of us that accepted Christ as Lord and Saviour, then he's covered our sins. Now, there are things that we do on a day-to-day basis, that we may do on an annual basis, that causes him to be sorrowful. And it may cause us pain. But we have been redeemed. We have been set free. In Matthew 19 verse 26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible. Now, we're not talking about healing here. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about wealth and wealthy people. But the sentiment is true. There are things that we see going on around us, and with man it's impossible to reconcile these two things together. But it says, but with God all things are possible. So without taking that scripture out of context, but putting it in context, the truth is the truth. And the Bible says the truth is what will set us free. And that means that all things are possible. All things are possible. So I want to suggest that there's something in your life and something in my life that we think God can't touch. Well, that's okay, Lord. You've brought healing to that person. Okay, Lord, you've brought financial prosperity to that person, but you can't do it for me because I'm... And then you say something about yourself. See, don't you think God knows that about you and I? He already knows. He says he chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. You know, that was one of the most reassuring passages of scripture for me as someone who always saw himself as less than. As I've shared with you before, when there was a football match, a cricket match, or anything to do with sport, and there was two teams, I was always picked last. Why? Glad you asked. Because I was rubbish. I wouldn't have picked me if I was me. I wasn't good for anything in that sense. As a child at school, I couldn't even speak publicly without getting embarrassed. I've told you this before. Girls petrified me. They still do. They scare me. Unpredictable. At least if a guy comes after me, I know what are the two things. I either have to defend myself or run. But one won't go there. So all things are possible. So I want to say that if you've prayed over the years for God's manifestation and you haven't seen anything, that doesn't mean God's not working. And it's easy for us as Christians. We're on a win-win. Let me explain. We're on a win-win situation where if we pray for somebody to be healed and they die, we can say, well, that's God's will. Praise be the Lord. And if they live, well, that's God's will. Praise be to the Lord. That's a win-win, isn't it? But there's a bit of truth in that. Because we're not the healers. Many years ago, there was a friend of mine that had prematurely, I believe, died through an accident. And the Lord spoke to me very, very powerfully. And yet that man is still dead. And I could look at that situation and say, but God, you said, your word says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Is it because I don't have enough faith? Is it because there's sin in my life? And what I learned through that experience was, I speak, God works, or he doesn't. That's the truth of it. It's God who heals. It's the Spirit of God. I am not a healer and nor are you. But we do have something that is powerful. And we can so often forget it when we're interceding for someone else. We have the Spirit of truth within us, don't we? We do. So when you pray for someone, God does something. You may not see it here and now, but God does something. How do I know that? Because he said when his word goes out, it accomplishes it. We may not see it. You know, we look through the Old Testament and there's a battle going on amongst the angels. A prayer has gone up and there's a fight before that answer comes. And so often for Christians, I've been so concerned about those that have been on fire when they're in church. They've been in meetings and they're raising their arms and Jesus is Lord, and then they pray and it doesn't happen, and then suddenly Jesus is nowhere to be found. That's sad. I want to say to you, if you have prayed for somebody and you haven't seen the answer and there isn't sin in your life, you are a child of God, then God knows what he's doing. Be persistent, be consistent, and be thankful. You know, whether you see the answer now or you see it next week or you don't ever see it this side of glory, for us as Christians, we are to be encouraged and we are to know that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. We can stand here and give testimony. I can give testimony. I've seen miracles in my life. I've seen miracles in other people's lives. I know that there's times I've prayed for someone sincerely and faithfully and nothing has happened. I've seen times where I've just thrown up a glib prayer and something happens. You see, it's not me, is it? It's Christ in me. But there was someone spoke to a minister in America many years ago and they said, you know, you keep talking about seeing dead men raised. I've never seen a dead person raised. And the pastor looks at him and says, how many dead people have you prayed for?
No.
There you go. If we don't pray, that's our job, isn't it? Just to pray. It's God's responsibility. There's a dear friend of ours, he's gone home to be with the Lord, Bill Isaacs, the Reverend Bill Isaacs, and he was interviewed on the BBC many, many moons ago, and he was talking about God's healing. And this interviewer said, so you heal people? And he said, no, I don't. Well, you just said you heal people. He said, no, I said I pray for people. God heals them. See, there's a difference, isn't there? So I want to release this from some of the baggage, I believe, that we carry around. And the reason I wanted to minister this word while Ken and Val was here, because normally I use this couple to come and minister to us so I can have a week of not preparing. But I wanted to do it for two reasons. One, because they're people of faith. And two, because I wanted them to know how grateful we are. How grateful I am for who they are. In their own church, I'm sure they're told on at least every 17 years how grateful people are for you. But it's so easy to have people in our lives and we don't give thanks for them. And I'm not here to embarrass them. I'm here to honour them. Because there's a very spiritual song by Mike and the Mechanics that talks about in the living years. And that's a story put to words where I wish I'd have told my father while he was alive that how precious he is to me. Well, we can tell people how precious they are while we're still here. We can praise the Lord while we have breath in our lungs. So I'm talking about healing today. I'm talking about thankfulness today. And I want each and every one of you to know that that God has a plan and a purpose for you. And he puts us together in a body so that we can be part of that body. It's not about a platform ministry. You know, we've said this on many times. We are pastors and teachers and evangelists, yes. But we also have that title of chief foot washer. We're here to serve, not to be served. Is it right for people to be grateful and thankful for the gifts God gives? Yes, of course it is. But also we need to remember that we are part of that family. We are chosen. We are loved. And I believe that the enemy has come along in his church. And maybe he hasn't said this to you, but he might have said this to someone who's listening to this message next week. That you're not healed because of your sin. Because of the things you did in your youth. Because of what you said to that individual. You're not healed and you don't see God's favour because you was like this when you was younger. Can I ask you a question? Thank you. Have you been born again? Have you acknowledged that Jesus Christ is Saviour and Lord? Have you repented? Well, if the answer is yes, then you should say, what's in? The enemy will come along to steal and rob. So when you start to feel that you have an ache in your leg, you think, oh, well, shouldn't have had that argument with that woman in the shop. Well, maybe you shouldn't have done. But you know, God doesn't inflict pain upon you. The enemy does. The enemy's a liar.
That's right.
We're in a fallen world. And I know that there's people in this room that are praying for loved ones. There's people in this room that are praying for parents and grandparents and children. And prayer after prayer after prayer, and you don't see anything. And maybe you've said to yourself, it's because I don't have enough faith. Well, the Bible says if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. How small is that?
Tiny.
Tiny. Exactly. Do you have that much faith?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, there you go then. You have enough faith. You see, we're not the healers, are we? The Spirit of God is the one that does the work. But he uses us. He encourages us. He says, you have not because you ask not. Well, let's ask.
Yes.
Let's ask. And let's believe that as the word leaves our mouths, God is already doing a work. You might not see it, but we need to believe that God is working. You know, I wear glasses. I've prayed and people have prayed for me. I don't want to wear these glasses. I've worn them since I was the age of dot. And it inhibits my life. But am I not going to love God because he hasn't healed me of my eyesight? That's a shallow existence, isn't it? And there's times like that. You know, when you look around you, you will see people who you know that they have infirmities. Mike's in a wheelchair. Does God love him any less than he loves me that's not in a wheelchair? No. No. There are people here that have had not one heart transplant, not two, several. Does God not love Bernie as much as he loves you? Of course he does. See, we're in the world, not of the world. And I want to say to us as a church that if we just think about this life, then we've missed the point of eternity. It's 70 plus whatever and more for you and me. And then we go to an eternal resting place where there is no more sickness. Now, does that mean we can't experience heaven on earth? Of course it doesn't. We can. In Matthew 8:5, it says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? Yes. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word. Now we can read this portion of scripture and think, Jesus just said he would come and you said don't bother. But he didn't say don't bother. What he said was, I've been watching, I've been observing, and you are a man under authority. When you say it, it happens. I'm a man under authority. I have people under me. When I tell them to go and do it, they do it. Why? Because I have authority over them. You have authority over the wind and the waves. You have authority over the paralyzed man. You have authority over the blind. You can even raise dead people. So Lord, just say the word. Now, what this says to me, it encourages me that there are times where our loved ones will not be in the room and we'll feel desperate for them. Well, please understand that that same word lives in us, because Jesus says, I am the word. I am the word. So that word lives in us. So when we use the name of Jesus, it's not just to tack on Jesus on the end. Lord, I want to be rich in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to in Jesus. It's not just that. There is an authority that comes with that name. There is an authority that comes with his word. And when we understand as mere mortals, the power, the Bible puts it this way, it says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So that power, that dunamis, that word, as we speak it in faith, with the small mustard seed that we have, we need to believe that God can do all things.
That's true.
So there's a couple of people I want us to pray for. They're not here, but I want us to pray for them, because this portion of scripture talks about authority. God's given us authority, hasn't he? He's given us authority over the evil one. When the devil comes to you and he starts to torment you, the Bible says, read Revelation, it says, resist the devil and he will flee. Tell him to go. You have no authority over me. And this is another problem in the Christian church. There are many people that have listened to the lie and they've understood a false gospel, a gospel that's been emptied of its power. They believe that the enemy has more power than God. They believe they can walk into darkness and they'll be terrified because the darkness will overcome them. But the Bible says that when the light of the love of the Lord lives in you, then darkness will flee, because where there is light, there can be no darkness. So I want to thank you for your generosity, but I want to give back. I want you to understand that you have that same power and authority. When Jesus hung on a cross, this is only going to be a 10-minute word. When Jesus hung on a cross and he said, it's finished. What does that mean? It's finished. Amen. It's completed. It says that the curtain that separated us from God, that's the truth of it, that separated man from God, where only the priest was allowed in, was torn from top to bottom and given us access to him. So you have access to him. You don't have to come through a priest, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, a prophet. You can go directly to God. But the truth and the beauty of God's word is, well, where two or three are gathered in his name, there I am in the midst of him. There's the Spirit of God hovering in each and every one of us. And if I lack, then you may have what I lack. So you will lift me up and I will lift you up and we will lift each other up. And faith will arise in the room and we'll start to hear what God says to us. We'll start to speak what God says to us and we'll start to see mountains move. We'll start to see molehills grow. We'll start to see disease and sickness disappear. Because God is at work. So I'd like us to pray for Kathy Langston. Now, Kathy Langston is a dear sister of ours, isn't she? She was a member of this church. She's no longer a member of this church, but she's a member of the household of the Lord, isn't she? So I want us to pray for Kathy. And, you know, I don't mind using words like cancer. Cancer has no hold over us. It's a word. And when we bring something into the light from the darkness, it means it's no longer in the darkness. It's in the light. And there's times where we as Christians, we can suffer in silence because we've been fed the lie that we are ill because we're sinful people. And like I said at the beginning, sin does separate, so we need to keep short accounts. But we're in the world. We're in the world. We're going to suffer. Is there anybody that you know of a certain age that's not on medication of some sort? Why, they have not enough faith? Is there anyone who has a broken leg that don't walk on a stick? Is it because they have no faith? Is there anyone who has a backache and they have no faith? Anyone who goes to the dentist, do they not have faith to believe? Of course not. That's a silly statement, isn't it? But so often we can hear people preach health, wealth and prosperity. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. God wants us to have health, wealth and prosperity. But you don't have to sow a seed into my ministry in order for God to heal you. You just need to have faith that he has already done it. Yeah. And that it will manifest when he's ready to manifest it. So I want us to pray for Kathy, that the Lord will bless her. I want us to lift up Jenny Philby. I want us to lift up Jean, that's Sharon's mum. I want us to lift up David, that's Jean's husband. I say Jean's husband because some of you don't know who David is, but you know who Jean is. I want us to lift up Janet. She's in the care home. I want us to lift up Chrissy. And I want you to lift up your parents, your grandparents, and anyone else that's on your heart. I want us to pray this prayer. I'm going to pray this prayer for time. And it's a blanket prayer. And we're going to say amen together. And amen means I agree. And as we say amen, let's believe that God is going to do a work in us and through us. Because we're going to say the word. We're going to simply say the word. Father God, we thank you for those that we've named, Lord. And we bring our loved ones to you this morning, Lord. Those of us that are here in church and those that are listening online, we bring our loved ones to you, Lord. We pray, Father God, that you would manifest your grace upon them. We pray, Father God, that you would bring conviction where conviction is needed, and you'd bring wholeness and health where wholeness and health is needed. We pray, Father God, that cancer would dissolve in Jesus' name. We pray that all mental and emotional disabilities and infirmities will be removed in Jesus' name. We pray, Father God, that you would choose us, that you would use us, that you would encourage us to be an encouragement for those that we've lifted up and those that you know that are on our hearts. Father God, we pray for our children. We pray for our grandchildren, that you would manifest your goodness and your grace and bring healing and wholeness to them, that they may be saved, that they may know who you are as Lord and Saviour. We ask this knowing that that name that you've given us is a name that is above every other name. And that, Father God, that you are more than able to do immeasurably more than we could even ask or think of. So we lay these people before you in that name, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's continue in these 100 scriptures that I have. While he was saying this, the synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died." You know this story. The synagogue leader comes to Jesus and he says, "My daughter is ill. She's sick. Just come and your presence will bring healing." Because they'd understood who this man was. I get poetic at times and I see a picture and sometimes it's of the Lord and sometimes it isn't. Let me just finish this portion of scripture and I'll talk. "It's just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." There's his faith. "I know that you can do this, Lord. She will live if you just come and put your hand on her." And it talks about a woman who was subject to bleeding. She touched the edge. She said to herself, "If only I touch the edge of his cloak, something could happen." She was in the crowd and she reached out and she touched him. You have a synagogue leader and you have a woman. And you have a young girl who's 12 years old and you have 12 years of suffering and they merge together somehow and the common denominator is Jesus. And when you think about what's happening, I picture this synagogue ruler, this man who was entrusted with putting the chairs out on a Sunday, entrusted to make sure that Ken turned up on time and didn't speak heresy, entrusted with the mundane as well as the glorious things of church life. And I just picture him with the law around him wrapped in his cloak, with the tassels reminding him of the grace of God and the favour of the Lord wrapped around him and his daughter, crying out to God, and he hears about Jesus. I imagine this woman in the marketplace just looking at the robe that Jesus was wearing, and "If only I touch hold of the edge of his cloak and the promises will be mine." It's poetic, is it? I don't know. Or is there truth in that? If only we touch him, we will be healed. Well, God lives in us. He lives in us. We touch him on a daily basis. So we talk about faith. Sometimes we have enough faith to go to someone else and say, "Will you pray with me?" That's faith. And sometimes we just touch God ourselves and say, "Lord, heal me." And that's faith. And both of those are okay. But I want to suggest that there's times where we may be in a place where we think, "Oh, well, they're not preaching about healing today, and it's not the right time for me to ask for prayer. It's not the right time during worship. This is a happy song, and I'm bringing my woes to God." Listen, God loves you, doesn't he? That's what the Bible says. So when we're in worship, What a better time to say, Lord, you know my needs. Lord, I want to touch the edge of your promises. Lord, I want to wrap myself in your glory. Father God, forgive me. Heal me. Give me wholeness. And Lord, will you touch my mother? Will you touch my friend? Will you show them the same grace you've shown me? That's not poetic. That's truth. That's God's word. There are times where we need others to hold our arms up, just as the battle was being fought. That we need others to hold our arms up because we feel weak and insignificant. You're part of a body. But there's times where something will rise within us in a worship service like this, or when we're at home, or even driving the car. Just don't pray with your eyes closed. While we're in the car, and we just say, Lord, you can do all things. Lord, I give this situation to you. So I want to encourage you. I want to bless you today so that you can be a blessing to those around us. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ Jesus. And through him, the Amen is spoken by us. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to say Amen. In Mark 5:14, it says, those tending the pigs, that Jesus comes and he casts out a demon. And all the people in the village come up and they see what's happened. And what do they say? Praise the Lord! He's come and visited us. They say, no, go, leave. You know, there's times where you'll pray for someone and they will see a manifestation of God in their lives. And it will freak them out. And instead of saying, Jesus is Lord, they'll say, go. We've had people in this church, they've come through, they've been prayed for, they've been healed of cancer. Non-Christians. Can you believe that? How gracious God is? Healing a non-Christian? That's how gracious he is. And they haven't come back and said, praise God. They've said, leave me. But God is able, so we should pray for the good, the bad and the ugly. We shouldn't put a label on it and say, well, they don't know God, so we won't pray for them. Let's pray for our neighbours, our friends. Let's pray for our enemies. And let's see what God can do. Let's believe that he will do it in us and through us. And that he will enable us to be all things at the time he wants us to be all things. In Mark 5:14, as I said, those tending the pigs, they ran off. They were afraid of what God was doing. Let's embrace what God is doing. You may come into church and you may see something you're not used to. Ask yourself this question. Is it God? And let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Now, I used to have this thought in church life that I used to wonder about different manifestations. And it used to freak me out a bit. You know, the shake, the shudder, the rattle, the roll. Until it happened to me one day. But I used to put it, I remember as a young Christian, the man, this big black man, was talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We was in Swaffham at the time. And I'm thinking, oh, if that's a gift of God, I want it. Don't you want the gifts of God? I want it. And I'm going, yeah, but I think he's hypnotizing people. And this was my thought. So I thought to myself, what I will do is I will get him to pray for me, but I'll close my eyes, and then he can't hypnotize me. I won't let him touch me, then he can't push me. That'll sort it out. So I stood there. And I didn't even hear him speak. I was on the floor, weeping, crying, unconsolably. My friend said, what's wrong? I don't know what's wrong. You see, God can do what he wants to do if we have a willing heart. Yeah. So let's not be afraid. Let's not, when he turns up to heal, when he turns up, let's not push him away. Let's look at his word and say, is this God? You see, the Bible says you cannot stand in the presence of God. True? So there might be times where you can't stand. Why? Because the presence of God is all over you. But we need to be mindful. When the enemy comes to rob and steal, when he says to you, you've been praying for that loved one for long enough, do you think God loves you enough to answer prayer? The answer is yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. So keep on praying. That's your responsibility. The healing is down to God. There's a, on my back, about 4 inches down, there's a lump, a hard lump that's been growing for the last 4 years. And it's not cancerous or anything like that, so you don't need to worry. But I would put my arm over and I would say, Lord, dissolve that in Jesus' name. And I'll tell you this, the truth, it would get smaller and smaller as I prayed. And then in a few months later, and it's back again. Now, I don't immediately think, oh God, you don't love me, you're not healing me. I just put my hand on that spot again and said, dissolve that in Jesus' name. Now, I'm no one special. I'm no one special, but I'm loved, and God died for me, the same as you. So let's be persistent in our prayer. I will ask Emma to come up. I want us to pray out loud if you want to. I want you to pray one for another if you want to. I want us to see the grace of God fall upon us. And it's just a word that I want to bring out, and I don't have the time to do it justice. In John 9, one that says this: as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? What an answer God gives him. You see, there are people who are suffering in their body, and some well-meaning spiritual man or woman will say to them, yeah, but you're like that because of your attitude. You're like that because of your bitterness. You're like that because of sin in your life. It must be. Job, you're in this position because God has smitten you. He's inflicted pain upon you because you must have sinned. Read the story. It says he suffered all this suffering, yet he did not curse God. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, my favourite portion of scripture in the Old Testament. Even if God is able. And if he doesn't, we'll still not bow down and worship you. This portion of scripture says to me, neither this man nor his parents sinned. In that culture, they believed if someone was born blind or infirm, it was because the sin of the forefathers. Do you know you can't have the sin of the forefathers? You hear things like this all the time. You're just like your uncle so-and-so. You're just like your auntie so-and-so. And where are they? In prison. No, I'm not. You see, for us as Christians, before we become Christians, just imagine the devil being the puppet master and we are the puppets. And we would dance to the tune. But when God came along, he came along with his Holy Spirit scissors, picture it. And what did he do? He cut the strings. So now if you dance to the tune of the devil, it's because you want to. There's a thought. But you're no longer controlled by him. You belong to God. You cannot be half pregnant, can you? You're either for me, Jesus says, or against me. There's no, well, I'm half for you and half against you. Well, I think I'm half a Christian because I go to church twice a month. No, you're either for me or against me. So if you're a child of God, then you've been healed. Because there's a portion of scripture I haven't got to here where it talks about the paralyzed man being let down through the roof. And Jesus says, stand up, for you are healed. And everyone murmured. And Jesus says something like, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? So that you know that this man's sins are forgiven and God can do all things, get up and walk. So when you look at that picture, you've got a picture of healing. You've got a picture of healing through salvation. So when it says, by his stripes we are healed, we are. We are. We are spiritually healed. We can lay hold of physical healing. I want to say to you today that God can do all things. And it may not be because you don't have enough faith. God has a will, he has a plan for your life. But for me and you, as we can say like Job did, I'm afflicted, I don't like it, but I'm not going to curse the Lord. You look at the end of the story, he got a double portion. You look what it says in Isaiah about his people, a double portion. You look what it says about you, that God lavishes his love upon you. So as we close this message, because of time, unfortunately, we'll have another go another day. I want us to know that all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. That Sometimes we have not because we do not ask not, because the enemy robs that very thought from our minds. Sometimes we will be disillusioned because we don't see the answer to our prayers, but be assured that God is working. He's working in behind the scenes. I've been blessed in my life to have persecution. And the reason I'm blessed to have persecution, because it produces character, and character will not disappoint. There's a scripture that says, let perseverance complete its work. Let it complete its work. So let's be men and women that will trust God, believe God. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace and your mercy. And Lord, we just want to give these few moments to you as we pray one for another through worship, as we lift up the circumstances and situations that we have through worship. That Father God, as you encourage us and strengthen us through worship. Praise be to your name. Amen.